Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Vibe Within podcast. I'm your host, Gab Cohen. And today's episode is the second episode of the Microdosing Mushrooms for Mental Health series. That's a mouthful. And today's episode is with my friend Chelsea, who has been doing a microdosing protocol for the last year or so. And we get really deep in this episode about depression, anxiety, panic attacks. We talk about shadow work. We talk about the powerful shifts that we've felt as we are going through our own microdosing journey. We talk about how we're dosing ourselves. We talk about different protocols, how many days, you know, on and off we do of our microdosing. We really get deep and in the nitty-gritty. We're not just talking about, oh, mushrooms are so great. We're actually talking about the physical and the emotional and the mental shifts that we physically feel and mentally feel in our bodies. And we talk deeply about some reflections that we've noticed, some reframes. We talk about trauma and how we're healing that trauma. We talk about therapy and EMDR. We talk about a variety of different takeaways that we've noticed, especially after the first couple months of microdosing. And we talk really just vulnerably about depression and what brought us to our microdosing journeys, what we're learning so far, about anger, about emotions, about how we are handling our anger and our triggers. We talk a lot about triggers and relationships and family trauma, and I share very openly and candidly about what I've been going through in my own, you know, life, just with a lot of, you know, shifts in my life, losing people, places, things, jobs, family, toxic family members, you name it. So, yeah, I think you're really going to enjoy this episode because it brings it. It's not just like you're listening to two scientists or experts talk about mushrooms. You're talking to two people who really are deep in the work of working with the medicine of psilocybin. And I'll be sure to put all of the brands and the discount codes in the show notes. The two brands that I recommend that I've been using is Vellum Health. Vellum Health is a Canadian company and they sell microdose psilocybin capsules. And they also have different types of capsules that have different kinds of medicinal mushrooms in them, like reishi, like lion's mane, cordyceps, ashwagandha, and they have other adaptogens in there. So that's an amazing company. They are a Canadian company. So if you want to order from them, but you are a United States customer, you need to DM or email them. Sorry, that was my cat. you need to DM them or email them, and then they will process your order via email. So all USA orders need to DM or email them. And when you do that, make sure that you mention the discount code VIBE, because you will get a 10% off of your purchase. So Canadian customers can just order directly on the website and use discount code VIBE. But if you're a USA customer, you have to DM or email them, and they will process your order via email and mention the code VIBE. The other company that me and Chelsea have both used, and I still have been using daily, I have been rotating between Golden Euphorics and the Vellum Health. So goldeneuphorics.org is another amazing company that sells microdose psilocybin, and they have a variety of different strains and blends, and each blend will explain to you what kind of like the purpose and the dynamic of that blend does. So you can check out their website, goldeneuphorics.org, and they have a nice breakdown of each different strain, and you can use the discount code VIBE as well. You can just order directly from their website. It's a United States based company, so feel free to go to their website, order, and check out with the discount code VIBE. So let's get right into this episode. I think you're really going to take away a lot. We got super deep and jam-packed a lot of information, a lot of like just therapeutic ways of talking through our issues. And I think you guys are really going to resonate with a lot of what we shared, because everyone goes through depression, everyone goes through a traumatic event, everyone goes through anxiety, everyone goes through challenging experiences and relationships. And you know, if you've tried everything and you are really trying to rewire your brain, that is what we talk a lot about in this episode. Rewiring the brain, neuroplasticity, and just how we can get out of those stuck patterns and cycles and really just reclaim who we want to be, how we want to act, how we want to feel, and how we want to live our lives. So enjoy this episode and let us know what you think. You can DM us. You know my Instagram. It's gabloveflow. And I'll be sure to put Chelsea's Instagram in the show notes. All right. Enjoy. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi, Gab. How's it going?
Good. I'm really glad that we're doing this, because me and you have been kind of going back and forth about our personal experiences with microdosing psilocybin, and we've gotten pretty deep in our DMs about just things that we've been experiencing and shifts and all these like epiphanies and aha moments. And it's like I've felt a really strong connection to you and everything that we've kind of been going through. So
mm-hmm.
I want, in this series of the microdosing series on here, I wanted to have a conversation with someone who also has been doing it, you know, and in it and feeling it and experiencing it day in, day out. So,
right.
Why did you initially want to start doing microdosing mushrooms?
It's been almost a year. I started in February, like the end of February last year. And I don't know. I was pretty depressed. I just kind of felt like everything was dull. I had little focus. Let me pull up my notes here, because I wrote a lot of this down. My actions weren't aligning like with my thoughts. I was procrastinating a lot. And something about the mushrooms, it was like calling me. And it was like, I started doing a bunch of research into it and started getting really intrigued by it. And we kind of talked about this a little bit, how I was nervous and scared at first, just because you never know how these things are going to go. And I think fear of the unknown is a big thing. And that, honestly, I've been working through that in general, just fear of the unknown. But to start, that was like a big deal, just being kind of scared.
Yeah. I was scared too. I was actually really scared.
Yeah.
because I have had a couple experiences on psychedelics. I had one near-death experience where mm-hmm. I literally almost died at a music festival. So I was really, mm-hmm. I hadn't done any kind of psychedelics, any kind of tripping, whether it was microdose, large dose, since my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in my early 30s. So it's been well over a decade. So, you know, what were you scared of? What were you afraid of and nervous about?
I was nervous about, well, kind of like you said, I've had some experiences too where it can get kind of scary and like kind of dark in a way. And I was just kind of scared of that resurfacing. But you know, with the larger doses, it's all amplified. So with the micro doses, it's a lot more subtle and a lot easier to handle. I'm trying to think what, let's see.
Yeah, because I mean, me and you, we're mm-hmm. we're used to those big kind of druggy experiences.
Right.
I'm going to speak from my own experience, because like, I was never doing it from a therapeutic standpoint,
right.
ever.
Yeah, that's kind of how I started out too, where it was like more of like a partying kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I realized pretty quickly that it's not meant for that. It's definitely more of like it can be used for that, I guess, and it can be fun, but at the end of the day, I feel like it's more of a medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before I came on here, I was kind of just like, I was kind of just brainstorming and thinking, and this like, something came to me before we hopped on here, and I was just like, things hit differently when you're doing a microdosing protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, maybe you can relate, everything hits differently. Mm-hmm. It feels like even like just the smallest things hit differently, and I feel things on like a deeper but more calm level, if that makes sense. Like things mm-hmm. are maybe amplified a little bit and intensified a little bit as far as experiences go. Like I went to a yoga class, a few yoga classes last week, and it was just amazing experiences. I DM'd you right away, and
yeah.
I was like, holy fucking shit. I just went to this class. The music was amazing. I felt it in my body. I was having fun. Like, just all these awakening kind of experiences where when I was, you know, sober, not doing microdosing at all, I would go to a yoga class, and I'd be like, oh, that class sucked. You know?
Yeah, it's sort of like a disconnection from the senses, like for me before, at least, like I wasn't as connected to my body. I was more so like in my head a lot, and not in a good way either, like in a beating myself up kind of way, you know, getting in these negative thought loops. I was reacting from a really horrible place. Like I was reacting from my past where, you know, right now I have a very stable life. Everything is like, you know, I'm so grateful for where I'm at right now, but I was still reacting from a place, you know, of trauma. And little by little with the microdose, you know, it's been almost a year now, and chipping away at that, so that I can just act or like, you know, take just, a step
yeah.
back, take a breath, and
right.
I'm not, you know, going crazy in the moment, you know, not feeling like I have absolutely no control. And I feel like with the microdosing, it's kind of put me back more in a space of control over my thoughts, emotions,
and reactions.
Yeah, exactly.
So what would you be reacting to like on a daily basis? Like what were those triggers? What were those experiences that were like setting you off? Or they could be little, they could be big. What kind of traumas, big T, little T,
mm-hmm.
Were you working with day in, day out that were making you feel like you were so out of control?
Right.
With your reactions.
A lot of it for me is in like relationships, and you know, a lot, like my past relationships were pretty abusive. And, you know, living with my partner now, it's totally the opposite of that. It's loving and it's caring. And I was still stuck in like in that victim mentality, you know, playing that role still when I wasn't in that role. I'm not in that role anymore. And just, you know, little things like for instance, my partner would be, you know, pointing something out, trying to help me, and I would be taking it as an offense kind of thing. And it was like, it wasn't meant that way. I was just misinterpreting a lot of things due to my past situations, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Because like dude, I would take things to the extreme, and like, I still do, but because I have ADHD and I'm learning a lot about ADHD, and it's a form of neurodivergence, which I didn't really know that. And something with ADHD is that OCD coincides with it. Eating disorders coincide with it. Mm-hmm. And the intensified emotions that we feel, and even if you don't have ADHD, with trauma, that is also normal, because things can trigger you day in, day out, and you're like, well, why am I feeling so activated? Why am I feeling so fucking angry? Why am I feeling so like I'm taking this little thing that like my mom or her husband said, and I'm taking it to the extreme, where I'm huffing and puffing, and I'm like, I have to like go for a 2-hour walk, or I have to like fucking like do all this crazy shit to diffuse it. And it's like, is it really that big of a deal with what just happened? Right. And it feels like it's that big of a deal because it's linked to the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so if I could go back to the root of the trauma, and that's why we go to therapy and shit, right? Mm-hmm. But like, therapy only, I can sit and talk about this shit all day long.
Right.
There's only so much I can like think my way out of and talk my way out of. And that's why I enjoy things like EMDR and, you know, like tactical practices and stuff like that. But what I've been realizing is that the mushrooms are doing something on like a deeper level, like a cellular level.
Yeah. Like a subtle level. Yeah.
And like, look, I haven't been at my mom and her husband's house yet while I've been doing this experience. So I don't know for sure how intensified my triggers are going to be once I'm back there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been triggered the past couple months since I've been in LA. Not as bad as I, you know, could be, but I still have my eating disorder. I still have my OCD, and I still have my ADHD. None of those things have gone away.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm still really triggered on a daily basis. The smallest things will trigger me. I have sensory issues in my body. I deal with like really big, like emotional and like mood fluctuations and stuff. So
yeah,
that's something that I've realized, that the mushrooms, it almost feels like my internal volume setting has just been turned down, and like something that would make me go ballistic, like something that somebody says, or me dropping something or being clumsy, like the anger outburst moments, or just the moments where I'm just like, I feel this surge of like energy in my body, like that's all I can really explain it as, this surge of energy.
Oh, I felt that. Yeah, I feel, you know? Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's like, that has been toned down a little bit.
And for me, so like when I had those outbursts, like a lot of the times before, I would, like after the outburst, I would go on this like shame cycle, and I would shame myself, and I'd be like, why am I like this? Like, I would just go in this loop of like beating myself up because of it. And that was like a whole nother section of that, I guess you could say. But yeah, I feel like the inner narrative, I'm just like a lot more kind to myself now. Can talk myself through it a little bit better. It's like I'm talking, like we talked about inner child kind of a little bit in our DMs, but like talking to the child version of myself, and calming myself down the way I would want to be calmed down, you know, by a parent or something. It's like almost inner parenting, reparenting.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. So like when something is happening, maybe the psilocybin is working on like a deep brain cellular level, so that we're able to take a moment of pause and like, because I am so heady, and like I'm aware of the things that trigger me, and I'm aware that all of them are linked to trauma in some way.
Right.
Like like me and you listen to podcasts, we go to therapy, we know this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in that reaction and that anger and that sadness and that, like, it takes you away from, like, the moment of what is actually happening because you forget that you're actually safe right now.
Right, exactly.
And, like, what the mushrooms have been doing for me, I think, is, like, helping – it's helping me remember and reminding me in the moments where I'm, like, feeling really buzzing and uncomfortable and unsafe. It actually makes me step back and take a breather and say, okay, no, everything's fine. You're safe. You're here. Mm-hmm. You're not where you were when you were 10 when that happened. Like, you know?
Yeah, it's like taking a step back from it all, and realizing that you have a choice, like, in that moment. You know, you can either, like, you can feel it and realize it and then and express it in a more conscious way. I feel like it connects us more to our senses. Like, I'm already pretty sensitive, but I feel like it's deepened my senses in a way, like, that I'm way more present now than I ever have been in my whole life.
Yeah.
And it's still, like, every day, like, even though I've been doing this for a year now, and I've taken a couple breaks here and there, but I still feel like it's still working on a subtle level, just being more present in everything and learning that I can bring intention into everything that I do.
Okay, so you say you've been doing it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
What, because I know there's many different protocols, like, mm-hmm. what did you start out doing? How did that change? And what are you doing now?
Yeah, so I started, like, I did a lot of research at first, like you have been too. And I started with I think it's the Fadiman. I don't know how to say that, but that,
James Fadiman.
Yeah, that one. So where I did one day on and then 2 days off. And like, I kind of, it was all an experiment, honestly. And I really liked it. It was a nice way for the whole year to kind of get introduced to it in a different way. Like I said, I've had a couple macro doses here and there, but the micro doses just works on such a different level, I feel like. And through time, it solidifies everything. And I've been talking to you recently about how just this past week, I started a different protocol. I'm doing the Stamets method.
And explain that.
Yeah, so that one is 4 days on and then 3 days off. So
okay.
That I started that a week ago, and
it's, and why? So like,
yeah,
because mm-hmm. like I'll go through like what I started at, what I've changed, but why did you want to increase the days and stack the days on top of each other?
Yeah, if I'm being honest, it wasn't anything really psychological. It was more so I've been having these terrible migraines. And, you know, a couple of people were like, you should try, you know, microdosing in a different way for your migraines. And I tried that. And I think it's just, I'm just holding out a lot of tension in my body. So it didn't really relieve my migraines. But it has done something, like, it's been a lot different in the fact that it's like, you can sort of get more into that flow. It's kind of difficult to explain, but it builds. Yeah. Every day has been building off of each other. Whereas before it was like a day on and then 2 days to process it. It's like four full on days of like doing the inner work. And then the next 3 days, which have been this week, I've been just kind of integrating that. And today is my first day of the next 4 days. And I almost felt like today I was like, I don't feel like I really even need it. Like after those 3 days.
Right.
Because it's been changing my perspectives even still, like.
Yeah. And like even on the days that we don't microdose,
mm-hmm.
those days, because I've listened to a lot of podcasts and they say those days, like, look, the medicine is still in your system.
Right.
And it's still doing things on a cellular level to your brain and to your, like, I can feel it right now having this conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before we had hopped on here, I was just alone. I was just in this Airbnb. I was doing my own thing. I felt very just sober. Like,
yeah.
And now that I'm having this conversation with you, it feels like something is like lit up in my brain almost. Mm-hmm. Like I'm in a flow state right now, even though, well, yeah, I did take a microdose, but it was hours ago.
Right, me too.
And but even on the days that I'm not microdosing, I still go for a walk and I'm like, this is really enjoyable. It probably wouldn't be this enjoyable, you know, if I was not doing this protocol, because I'd be in my depression, OCD kind of spirals. Mm-hmm. And it almost makes me feel like on the days that I'm not microdosing, it does feel a little quieter. Like I don't even want to be on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm just like I'm really, it's not numbness, but it's almost like, it's kind of a numbness, but it's kind of just like, whoa, like everything in me just feels, I don't want to like outreach or do anything like beyond my capacity. I just want to be in like this simple, simple day.
Mm-hmm.
How basic can I make this day? I have no desire to like make reels on Instagram or like check DMs or like scroll. So that's like really a big success for me, because like it makes me not want to like seek out something outside of me.
Right.
And one other thing that I realized is that, because I used to be like binge watching tarot videos on YouTube.
Always looking for something like outside of us.
Yeah.
Like,
and like, dude, like that has lowered dramatically since I've been here. And because I was watching them so much at my mom's, it's almost like I was like addicted to it, because I was like, I need answers. I need support. I need energy. I need to understand like why I'm feeling this way. And now, you know, 2 months in to this protocol, I've started to realize that some of the tarot readers that I was like so obsessed with, I'm like, I don't want to watch that.
I know. I know what you mean. No, I've been like honestly looking forward to like the little bits of boredom and stuff. It's like it's a different perspective of the mundane and sort of seeing life like, you know, like kids do. Like kids, it's like it's never really a dull moment for kids. It's always a new experience. It's always a new like sort of like the colorful, I don't know, it's like a colorful joy in everything. It's like going to the grocery store for the first time, just experiencing things like it's the first time you've ever experienced them almost again. And I was looking into, like, you know, like you were saying, it really does something to the brain. And I think what it does is it's called neuroplasticity.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote down a little definition. It's the brain's capacity to continue growing and evolving in response to life and experiences.
Oh my God, I love that. Can you say that again?
Yeah. So neuroplasticity is the brain's capacity to continue growing and evolving in response to life experiences. So plasticity is the capacity to be shaped, molded, or altered. And neuroplasticity then is the ability for the brain to adapt or change over time by creating new neurons and building new networks.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you felt this sort of like, you know, like when we were talking right now in a flow state, and like something's lit up in you. And, you know, I think that's like the mycelial web underneath the mushrooms. Everything's connected. The mycelial web connects the trees, you know, the forest, everything underneath us. And I think it does that on that level, on a physical level. But then I think it also translates to when we're on like these, you know, not on these substances, I don't know what you would call that, but like when we're in this state of flow.
Yes.
I feel like it's reflected. It's just like a reflection of that in a different way, in a sort of connection, if that makes sense.
So, yeah, dude, like, 'cause I've been so chained and like strangled.
That's
with
crazy,
like my mental
that.
Health stuff.
I did a couple, like I just pulled a couple tarot cards before this. Mm-hmm. And I got the Eight of Swords, which is like woman like, you know, tied up.
Yeah.
And I looked it up because I was like, you know, let me just pull a couple cards to see. And the meaning of that is negative thoughts, self-imposed restriction, imprisonment, victim mentality.
Oh my God.
That's kind of what I was talking about before. Like I was really in that mindset, like before I started getting, you know, a year ago. And
yeah. And that's the mindset that like I've been kind of trapped in and stuck in because like living at my mom's and with her husband and like just that environment, like it really set me back into my restriction, my inability to function, to handle my emotions, to handle my thoughts.
Real quick, before I get deeper into this episode, I want to talk to you guys about my sponsor for this podcast, BetterHelp. You guys know how much I love therapy. I have been in therapy for several years, but I've been using BetterHelp for about 3 years. And I love my therapist. She's amazing. So I'm very happy that BetterHelp has, you know, sponsored this podcast. And out of all of my sponsors, I gotta be real, BetterHelp is my favorite because I actually use them every day, every week. I have a great relationship with just the experience. And, you know, my therapist has helped me through so much the last couple years. And BetterHelp is very, very easy. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. You know, you don't have to go to a freaking office. You don't have to take a drive. You don't have to take an Uber or a Lyft. You can just do it from the privacy of your own home or wherever you're traveling. You can do it video. You can do just an audio call if you're not comfortable doing video, or you can do the messaging. And you can also message your therapist whenever you need to. There's also a journal feature, which I love because journaling and typing all of that stuff out of your head is so helpful. So join over 2 million people who are using BetterHelp. That is crazy, 2 million people. It has helped me so much. Just having someone on your side and having that outside perspective who is not going to judge you. They're not going to hold anything over your head. They don't know any secrets that you tell them. They're not going to ever hold that against you. And that's what I love about my therapist. I could tell her the worst things I've ever done, and she's not going to judge me. She's been very helpful with everything that I've gone through with, you know, the relationship with my mom and healing and everything like that. And she does EMDR. So you can find a therapist who matches your personal needs, whether it's addiction, substance abuse, trauma, eating disorders, relationship issues. You can find the perfect therapist, and you can change the therapist as many times as you need. No charge, and it's super easy to navigate the app. So all you're going to do is go to betterhelp.com/vibe for a discount, and that will get you a nice discount on your first month of therapy. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/vibe. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/vibe. For a 10% off discount, your first month of online counseling. And I hope you do it, because we all really need support. And if you haven't tried therapy yet, this is going to help you so much. BetterHelp.com/vibe.
And like my OCD stuff, just the volume just turned up all the way. And that manifested in like me, like trying to diffuse my pain and my suffering into like these behaviors and these thought patterns. And like, it was just like a whirlwind of like keeping me stuck. And like what I realized, I think the first moment that I realized, whoa, something is, I think working with like the mushrooms, cause I was just doing it just cause I had them and I didn't really think anything was going to happen, to be honest. Right. I was worried and scared to go into it because I didn't want to have a bad experience, but I didn't think anything good was going to happen.
Yeah.
that's how fucking like skewed my brain is, because it's always thinking about the negative. I didn't even think, oh, wow, like what beauty could happen? Like, oh my God, what healing could happen? I was just like so afraid that something bad would happen.
Yeah.
But the moment that I realized something was happening was I was in the kitchen here, and something that usually would have made me like outburst and scream, or like scream out fuck, or like a profanity or something.
Yeah.
Because like, I do that shit. Like I'm alone most of the time. I didn't do that. I didn't scream. I didn't feel anything bubble up in my body. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? Yeah. Like, I almost felt like physically distanced from what just happened in front of me. Like, I was still in my body, mm-hmm. but I was almost, like, standing behind me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was like, oh, my God. Like, I feel more at ease, like, a little bit more at ease. And, like, what you were saying earlier, which I'd love to talk more about,
mm-hmm.
you said that you're more – you feel safer with yourself. And I think I DM'd you about this, is that I'm starting to feel more safe with myself and more like a companion to myself, and mm-hmm. I'm living with myself rather than, like, I'm, like, I'm living – I'm forced to live with myself, you know?
Right, right. No, I know what you mean by that. I had a thought, just left me. Oh, yeah, letting go of fear. Oh, so trusting in ourselves, yes. So, even just...
It feels more pleasant. It right. feels more pleasant to live with myself, if that's right. what I'm trying to say, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a journey of self-love in a sense. And I talked to you about EMDR a little bit, because I did a little bit of that before I did any of the mushroom stuff. But in terms of EMDR, you know, I realized, and I'm still realizing this, that I've always had my back. It kind of, and with mushrooms, like you were saying, you kind of take, like you said, you're almost out of your body, but it sort of brings us more into this observer state. And not a judgmental state, you know, it's more like I'm just observing things mm-hmm. and I don't have to react. I don't have to give my energy to something if it's like, you know, going to send me down that spiral. And it's like, I don't have to do that to myself.
What's like a situation that you can, like, let's get granular. Cause mm-hmm. I want people to, cause we're not doctors, we're not therapists. Right. We're literally just talking about our experience. And mm-hmm. if somebody's like, thinking like, okay, well, how is this gonna like reflect into my life? Like, let's get fucking granular. Mm-hmm. Let's get really detailed.
Right. So just in terms of trusting ourselves, like even with this whole like mushroom thing, like it's all been an experiment, and midway through it, I was like, I knew that I needed to just take a break. I was like, I need to just give my body and my mind a break. No one told me to do it. I didn't read it anywhere to say, this is what you need to do. It's more so creating a connection with yourself and, you know, like doing your own research around things and just, you know, trusting your intuition more. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Developing a connection with yourself this way, and the inner journey will reflect outward. Everything just feels more stable.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, so even if like life isn't stable,
mm-hmm.
which like my life's not stable.
Exactly.
My cat almost died a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he's alive, but he might get sick again. I don't know where I'm going to be living. So it's kind of like I'm able to like cultivate calm in the chaos a little bit better.
Yeah, it's like acceptance. Well, for me at least, it's been acceptance. And, you know, the path of least resistance. Like for me, a lot of the times I was just resisting everything. Like I didn't want it to be this way. I didn't want it to be that way. Just the path of least resistance now has been showing itself more and more. And when I realize I realize now I can fight a situation or I can just accept it and go with the flow of it and do what I can. And that's all I can do. Whereas before, it's like I was fighting everything. Like I didn't want to, like, you know, like, and I was procrastinating so much because of it. Like, it's just put me more into a state of gratitude for things.
Mm-hmm.
And like this, yeah, like things like that, like things that come to shake us up. Like, you know, with your cat, and like my cat passed away too, like, or my cat passed away last year, like I was telling you, yeah. I was kind of talking to you about that. And, you know, it just kind of helped me accept everything. And, you know, kind of see everything in a different way and realize, you know, like in those tough times, like there's usually a bigger picture to it all. Like, and I, like now I tell myself, like, this is happening for me. What can I learn from this? How can I grow from this?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of dwelling in that state of like depression and sadness, which I think is definitely okay to feel. I think it's definitely good to feel those things. Because we have to feel those things to be human. We're human.
Yeah.
But it's like you feel it and you don't have to hold on to it. Before, I was all like, if I was in a depressed state, it was really hard for me to get out of that. Whereas now it's just like I can move through it in a more fluid way.
You can get yourself out of the hole a little bit easier. Yep. Like, yeah, I feel that too. And I, what you were just saying is like, so you can, before that you were saying mm-hmm. like you can, you're not going to let the depression kind of like take you away so deep. And the reacting to the things, like you have more capacity almost like to like deal with the trigger or whatever that's in front of you and then like move forward, like yeah. instead of getting like sticky and stuck in it. And that right there, that's what I'm hoping to experience when I go back to my mom's next week. Mm-hmm. Because the whole point of me doing this was like, the whole reason I didn't do the microdosing stuff at her house was mm-hmm. because I was afraid. Mm-hmm. Like I felt so unsafe in that environment. And it's like, there's traumatic wounds that are happening in that dynamic that will never go away ever, ever, mm-hmm. ever, ever. Mm-hmm. They're never going to be healed unless I heal myself.
Yep.
Because them, my mom and her husband, I don't even call him my stepdad. He's because mm-hmm. he's nothing to me. Mm-hmm. They're never going to man up. They're never going to be able to have that conversation. They're never going to see the way that, you know, me and my sister see things mm-hmm. because they're lost in it, in the toxicity. Mm-hmm. And so I can't force myself, I can't force them to see things how I am anymore, because I've wasted so much time and energy that it only took me further deep into my mental illness. And so the whole process and the whole point of me doing this for people to understand is like, I want to feel disconnected from that in a healthy way, because I've done so much work in therapy and EMDR and talk therapy and trauma therapy, and I'm a yoga teacher and mm-hmm. whatever. I have all these tools, you know?
Right.
But at the end of the day, I needed something else, because on a brain level, none of that shit was actually helping. And like, for some reason, I just kept thinking, okay, well, I have this mushroom chocolate that my friend gifted to me in the summer. Mm-hmm. This has come into my life for a reason, you know?
Yep.
So I might as well fucking do it and mm-hmm. just see what happens. What's the worst that could happen? I'm not going to end up in the ER from a microdose.
Right.
You know, like I had to like talk myself through that. Like, what is the worst that could happen? And like, I waited to come out here where I have my own Airbnb. I have no like responsibilities. I don't have to take care of my cat. I don't have to do anything except for take care of myself, and grocery shop and clean and work from my phone. And I'm grateful that I can work from my phone and make money. I'm not making that much money right now because I've kind of just been on a break mm-hmm. doing this microdose experience. But like, I feel like I needed, this was what I needed. Some people can do them, and I'm going to do the microdosing stuff still, even when I go back to teaching yoga, even when I go back to being.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Around more people mm-hmm. and when I'm at my mom's, I'm gonna continue it. But I think just to like feel safe enough to get into the whole medicinal way of life, I had to just be alone.
Yeah.
And like and for me to be alone meant like all of the noise from the toxicity that I was living in was completely gone, and it was just me and my mind and my body.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's important too when it comes to, I mean, any psychedelics in general, just like set and setting and knowing yourself to the point where like you knew you needed to go somewhere else. You knew you couldn't do it there. You knew it wouldn't be healthy or, you know, maybe even safe, you know, and trusting yourself enough to go and, you know, get in a better setting to heal.
Yeah.
But,
like, for me, I, well, first, I want to hear more about, like, some experiences that you knew, okay, this is working. Because I kind of just went through, like, I feel like I just went down a rabbit hole, and I just, like, I don't know, I feel like I am in a flow state right now, like, which feels crazy.
Yeah.
I want to hear about, like, some aha moments that you've had, because that's kind of what's going to make people realize, like, look, we were so deep in our, like, mental illness. Like, I want you to explain a little about where you were at, like, in the darkness, and then a couple of moments, like, where you were like, holy shit, okay, something's changing.
Right. So, yeah, I was totally, like, stuck. Like, I did a lot of work before I even did any of the mushroom stuff. I did a lot of, like, work to try, you know, meditation, yoga, all these things to, you know, get more mindful of my thoughts. You know, it's been a long journey. You know, years and years ago, I used to hate myself. I used to absolutely, you know, cringe at everything about myself. And then I kind of started going down the self-love journey to, you know, realize, take a look at my own thoughts, take a step back and look at my thoughts. And I realized, like, holy shit, my thoughts are so bad. Like, I'm just always worrying. I'm always, you know, think, like you said before, like, what can go wrong?
And catastrophizing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, every little thing, like, and I realized, you know, I put all the pieces together and realized, like, holy shit, I'm, like, really attracting all this negative stuff into my life. Like, I'm, like, just anything, car stuff, health stuff, you know, back then I was in a really toxic relationship, just constantly looking for things that are wrong, looking for things that are bad. And once I took a step back, I started meditating and all that, I was like, this is, like, a lot of this is all in my head. Like, I'm like, these are my thoughts and I'm projecting them, you know, it's all manifesting in front of me. And a lot of it is stemming from inside of me, my thoughts. So over the years, I did a lot of work through that. I, little by little, like, kept meditating, you know, became a lot more mindful with my thoughts. I would try, like, if I know, I would notice myself, like, if I was thinking something negative or, like, looking for the lack in things, I would then focus on my breath and say, like, this isn't, like, I don't have to believe this. This doesn't have to be my truth. And I can change it to something better, something more abundant, you know, something that is just more healthy. So I did a lot of work on my own that way before any, like, psychedelics or anything. But, you know, like, I kept falling back. Like, I would be on the wagon for a while and, like, be doing, like, you know, quote unquote good, or, like, you know, looking for good things. And then I would catch myself after a few months and being like, oh my God, I'm back in that negative loop again. And it was like an ongoing thing. Like, it kept going, like, over the years, like, little by little, it'd get better. But there was still something that I was like, there's something deeper that I need to work through, because these patterns, they keep showing up and I keep, like, falling off the wagon, so to speak, if that makes sense.
Like, you get, like, a week of, like, okay, I feel like a positive energy, and then it's just gone.
Yeah, it's like, I forget. Like, it's like, honestly, like, I just forgot. It's hard. It wasn't it wasn't engraved in me yet. And you can, and I felt like, you know, I could only do so much. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I was, like, you know, a little, like you said, they just kind of came into your life. Like, I feel like I just kept seeing more and more things pop up about it, like hearing more articles, more podcasts about microdosing. And I was like, you know what, why don't I give this a shot? Like you said, I kind of had some mushrooms laying around and I was like, I'm just going to try it. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Kind of thing.
Right. Like, and so, do you mind sharing, like, I don't know, like, if you have any diagnoses or whatever. Like, I feel like I share too much on my podcast. I'm like, yeah, I have OCD. I have an eating disorder. I have ADHD. I'm like, what mental health issues were you really trying to tackle?
Definitely depression. And I haven't ever been diagnosed with ADHD or ADD, but I do feel like I have some of those tendencies where my mind was really scattered, and like even just little things like
overwhelming.
Yeah, I would like be doing in the middle of doing something, and then, you know, another thought pops up, and it's a thought. It's like, oh, I have to go do something else. Like, I would like leave cabinets open, like just not attentive to things at all, really. like really scatterbrained and not focused. Like I said, I haven't really been diagnosed, but just overall depression. And, you know, just...
But your depression is linked to trauma.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm still, even now, like a year later, I'm still working through things that are deep-seated in me. Like I've been experiencing a lot of this physical tension in my head, and I'm getting these migraines. And I'm realizing, like, there's still a lot of trauma that I haven't even, like, dug into yet. You know, it's like layers and layers to everything. But I, like, little by little, it's like chipping away and creating these new pathways in my brain, and realizing these stories don't have to be true that I tell myself. Like, I can change the story. And it's like getting this power back that I never knew I even had before.
What is one of the stories that your depression or your trauma, like, tells you? That you've been feeling like you're rewiring.
Mm-hmm. Let me think about this for a second. So what I've been rewiring? Sorry, could you say that one more time?
Yeah, like, because, I mean, sorry to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay.
So, like, what is one of the stories? Because, like, so for me, for example, one of the stories that my mental illness tells me is that I'm super fucked up, and the way that I am with food, and like the way that I am, like, with how much I judge my body, like, no one's gonna ever want to be with me. Like, that's one of the stories that I'm working through.
Right. So. So a story that I would tell myself before, I guess I don't know if I would call it a story, but it's more like, it's never going to be perfect. Like, it's never going to be, like, I guess I was always striving for perfectionism. To the point where it's like, I wouldn't do anything because what's the point if it's not going to be perfect?
Like, you're never going to be good enough.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. I'm never going to be good enough. It's never going to be enough. So what's the point of even doing it at all, kind of thing? So now,
and how has that, like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So now it's like, it's never going to be perfect, but it's never going to be perfect, but it's a different perspective of it. It's like almost a good thing. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's an acceptance of that.
It's like a relief.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it doesn't have to be so serious. I just took everything so seriously, and it was like I wasn't having any fun anymore. And it's like, now I'm realizing everything can be fun, even the things that I don't necessarily want to do. Like, even little things before, like, oh, I was like, oh, I don't want to do the dishes. And it's just like, oh, I don't want to do this. And just developing a different relationship now with everything, every little thing.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Like, things don't feel as mucky. Like, okay, so if I have to do, like, a mundane thing, like, here there's no – I don't have my own laundry. It's, like, I have to go down a creepy, dark room that's, you know, it's, like, not a fun experience at all. So, like, the way that I get myself through that is, like, okay, what can I do to, like, make it more fun? And, like, like, I actually, like, found a way to, like, make something, like, not fun at all, like – more enjoyable. Or, like, even, like, I've told you, like, just going for a walk. I've been walking around the same fucking neighborhood every time I go for a walk, which is every day, mm-hmm. and I walk the same streets, but every day it feels pretty good. You know, mm-hmm. it hasn't gotten like crazy boring yet.
Yeah, it's like we have the choice in how we experience things. I mean, that comes down to intention too. It's like, what are my intentions behind all of my actions? Whereas before it was like, I was just doing things just to get through it, like, you know, looking for the end result. I wasn't enjoying the process. I wasn't like, you know, and that, I think that comes back to being present too. I wasn't present with anything I was doing. I wasn't really putting intention behind things. So nothing felt special anymore. Nothing felt like, you know, I was just like, I was getting through the day.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Oh my fucking God. Yeah. Like when I was living at my mom's, it was literally just me at war during the day, just to get through the day, just to get to the moment at night where my mom's husband would go to bed, because that's mm-hmm. the only moment of the entire day and night that I felt safe and secure and mm-hmm. distanced, and I didn't have to resort to like all of my crazy coping mechanisms and behaviors and OCD stuff. And so it's almost like, and I felt that sigh of relief every night when I got that time to myself, and I was like, okay, now I feel like I can breathe.
Right.
Well, how can I want to feel that regardless of what the fuck is happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Around.
It's like we can't control what's going on around us, but we can control how we react. But before, I didn't know that. I was like, I didn't think I could control how I reacted. Like, it just felt like I was responding like from like fight or flight to everything, and I didn't have any control over anything.
Hold on. So you just said fight or flight, and mm-hmm. I'm glad you did. Because mm-hmm. when you were talking before, I pulled up hypervigilance, because that's basically what fight or flight is. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing a lot of reflecting on like how, like, it almost feels like my personality, like my ingrained self, like I'm just a hypervigilant person because of all of the trauma that I've gone through with moving. Like that's yeah. a big my trauma is like being homeless. All the times that I've moved, all the times that I've gotten like the rug kind of like swept up from underneath me.
Mm-hmm. And then you kind of like expect that to keep happening. It's like, oh, yes. It's just going to keep happening because this is what's always happened.
And that, what you just said, mm-hmm. is the story that I've been working on the most with my mm-hmm. therapist, my EMDR therapist. Shout out to her. She's my BetterHelp therapist. Everyone, you know how much I love BetterHelp. Yeah, that's the main story right there, is that, mm-hmm. oh, like, if things go right, that's only for a moment. Mm-hmm. Like, things are going to get super fucked up real quick, so you better not get used to this, because the rug's going to get swept up from underneath you. Like, just, you wait.
Yep, it's like those, you know? Like you said, the stories that we tell ourselves, and that, it's like, whatever we think, like, when we're thinking those kind of things, I feel like it's reflected into reality, and that's kind of what we see. In a way, and working through that, it's like, it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-mm. But it's so ingrained, because how are right. you supposed to know, how are you supposed to change and mold the way that you think when the experiences you've been through have told you otherwise, and you have all this proof of things going wrong?
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's where like the mushrooms come in, because I feel like it forces your brain to do that neuroplasticity,
right,
shape-shifting, like,
yep,
to be able to see things in a different way regardless of how fucked up your life has been.
Yeah, it's like literally creating new paths in your brain, and that manifests physically. Like, it's like, oh, I can see these different paths now in my life. Like, I could go down this path of, like, you know, thinking that it's going to be bad again, and thinking that it's going to, you know, nothing's going to work out for me. Now I see another path. It's like, I see this other path I could take, and wow, look at that. Like, I could change all of this, you know, and that's what it's been. It's been changing all of it. And like, it hasn't been an overnight thing. Like, it's still a process. It's still healing, and it's still like, it's not easy, but it's like,
yeah. Yeah. And sometimes you can't even like articulate it into words. Like me and you are articulating it right now because we're flowing off of each other.
Yeah.
But there's been days where I feel like, okay, there's something happening in my brain and I feel like I'm not so entrenched in the way that things have turned out for me. Like, yes, I have all of this proof that things have not, that these circumstances, they were not good, but also there's a feeling in my mind and in my body that things are going to get better. And like, I haven't been able to feel that because I had been so stuck in the muck of like the negativity and the hypervigilance that it's almost like the substance of the psilocybin has kind of like intervened, like forcefully, like gently.
Right. No, it makes a lot of sense.
Like to the point where I'm like, okay, so like, well, okay, so like, there is a something else. There's something
like,
else.
It's a tool, like anything, you know, like any of these things, it's still a tool and there's still a user behind the tool. Like we still have to put in the work and we still have to like, you know, do the inner work and like make sure, you know, for me, it's been helping me get my actions more aligned with my thoughts and how I want, you know, things to manifest.
More clear.
Yeah, exactly. Way more clear. Yeah. It's like, okay, I have this, you know, it's like the sky is always blue, but some, you know, the clouds and the storms come through and we can't see it. And it's a reminder, it's a reminder that the sky is still blue underneath all of that. Like it's still, there's still a blue sky.
Right. Yeah. And like, so like for people who are listening to us, like some people might be like, what the fuck? Okay. That's like the most cliche thing, but like, okay, hear me out. When I said earlier that things hit differently, like words, the most basic term or the most basic phrase or the most basic thing hits differently. Like I feel it differently. Like, something that someone's always told me forever. You know, like if my therapist says, is that how it really is? Or are you just seeing it that way because you're you? Like, I'm like, my mind is like fucking blown because I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. Because I've been stuck in my head and I like have been so trapped in this that I'm not seeing things clearly because we can't go and hop from brain to brain. And I think like what the microdosing has given me is just like a taste of what it can feel like to not be so like in the trenches of my own brain.
Right. It almost like amplifies things to a point where it's like you have to face it and get through it. And even especially in like, you know, macrodoses and stuff like that for me, when I have used it in more of like an internal setting, it's like it amplifies these like patterns to a point where you have it's hard to get through, but like you have to get through it, and once you do, it's like a whole new world in a way.
And you're so, it's almost like you're hyper aware. So like there's this other woman who I met through like eating disorder recovery groups, and she's older than us. She's, I think, in her early 60s, and she's doing this as well. So she's had a lot more years of pain and being stuck, right? And she's feeling it too. She's feeling these waves of being able to feel pleasure and joy and like just being okay with herself and like being able to experience like happiness, you know, and she's been so deep in the trenches of like hating herself for so many years. I want to get her on the podcast because she would say all of these things. Her name is Marla, and I really want to get her on, and like
that'd be great.
If she's feeling it, you know, like after like maybe 40 years or more, probably 50 years, because she said it started for her when she was like 8. Like, holy shit, like, it is possible. It just, like, when it comes down, my thing is, like, when it comes down to the big T traumas, the it's almost like the karmic traumas that, like, we can't shake off no matter what the fuck we do. Right?
Yeah, things like, that just keep coming back up.
Like, it's those big things that keep us going back to those patterns and cycles of, for me, for example, like my eating disorder mm-hmm. or my OCD. For you, it's like the depression and like falling back into that dark space. Mm-hmm. And I have depression too, but I think I have a low grade depression because for some reason I'm able to still like go out and do things, which I'm very grateful to do, but I think that's mm-hmm. only because I have ADHD.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it was,
even if I'm depressed, the ADHD will still force me to go out and do things mm-hmm. because I have so much like pent up like energy that like I need to go use it or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And for me before that was like, it was the depression to the point where it was like, I couldn't even get myself to do things like for like, you know, and then it was like another cycle where I was like, oh, I'm falling behind. That's another story I would always tell myself is like, I'm behind. I'm never going to catch up. Like, it's like, I was always like striving for something that didn't even exist.
Like you're like, okay. So mm-hmm. this is how I feel sometimes is that I'm losing time mm-hmm. and that I'm missing out and that I'm really not reaching my potential right now. And like, I'm losing time and I'm not living my life. Mm-hmm. Like everyone else around me is living their life and I'm not.
Right. And I think that comes down to a comparison thing. Like for me, yeah, like I was really always comparing my life to others. And in a sense, when it comes down to like the inner child here, in the inner child healing, it's like kids aren't comparing themselves to others. Kids are like in their own little worlds and they don't, you know, they're just having fun. And like once I stopped.
And things slide off of them too. Sorry, I just needed to say that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they don't have to sit there and dwell on things. I forgot where I was going with that. But yeah, just in general, like compassion, like mm-hmm. and having like just more self-compassion and you know having more compassion for self, you know, not judging myself anymore. Like I would totally just judge every little thing that I did to the point where it was like debilitating and it was like I don't want to do anything because like I'm just sitting like I just sit there afterwards and just judge myself to the point where it's like it's just messed up. Like it was messed up.
Like really it's like it was really unpleasant for me to live with myself before mm-hmm. and like don't get me wrong, like I still have a lot of work to do mm-hmm. but it feels like I'm more approving of myself and I'm more accepting. And even though I have some really fucked mm-hmm. up behaviors and things I do with food and OCD stuff, and it's almost like the medicine has been, it helps me have these reality checks where I'm like, guess what? Mm-hmm. Every other person around here, like in the world, is fucked up. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not right. Like, maybe they're not aware of it and maybe they're not like speaking about it and maybe they're not mm-hmm. maybe they're hiding it really, really well.
Right.
Like and that's why I feel so crazy when I'm at my mom's because they're pretending that everything is fine. Mm-hmm. And everything is not fine. And I'm so hyper aware of things already.
Yeah, it's like everything's just
numb. It
makes
me feel crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think having, well, like that, like finding more compassion for yourself, then we find more compassion for others. And it's like, I'm not judging myself as much, so therefore I'm not judging others as much. Like, I'm not looking for what's wrong in me, so I'm not really sitting there looking for what's wrong in others anymore. It's totally like a reflection in all of the connections.
That's my goal. I mean,
yeah,
we shall see, because here it has been easier for me to, like, not have much like judgment because it's like people that really it's just random people, it's friends who I love, but like mm-hmm. it doesn't feel as heavy to me as my mom and her husband.
Yeah,
so like I'm really hoping that once I get back there I'll be able to just kind of let things flow through me and slide off of me and not feel like the things that they do day in day out mm-hmm. I don't want to be affected anymore.
Right. Like I don't take things as personally anymore. And it'll be interesting to see how, when you get back, how things are different, if they are. And, you know, I'm sure you'll share with us all about that. what was I saying with that? I lost my train of thought again.
It's okay, because I feel like I've lost my train of thought like a million times during this conversation because
it's so exciting.
I didn't feel this energy in me at all today.
Yeah.
And then when I sat down here and I'm having this conversation with you, something in my brain is lighting up. And I think it's mm-hmm. because me and you are unlocking energies and mm-hmm. memories and things in our body and in our mind, and the mushrooms and the psilocybin is in our body and in our mind right now.
Right. It's all connected. And I feel like it has to do with frequencies too, like certain frequencies of energies and that kind of thing.
So it's like activated.
Yeah. Yeah. And like sort of like a radio station, you know, like you're tuned into a certain station and it sort of tunes, at least for me, when I'm like microdosing, I feel like I'm tuned into like a higher station or something. Like my senses are heightened in a way that I don't know. But kind of circling back to what you said when you're going back home and everything, and just, you know, for me, it's been like I've been realizing that it's not personal. Like when people are projecting things, it's not really about me. It's about them. Like they're like at the end of the day, like people have depression, trauma, and everyone just probably needs a hug, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the things that people say and do aren't to deliberately hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing, because I know we were talking about this before, is like being super sensitive and
yeah,
like
taking it for me. Like I took everything personally, like way, way more personally before.
And like also being like, I don't like this about myself, but like everything that my mom and her husband would do would piss me the fuck off on like a deep, deep level to the point where mm-hmm. I was like, I feel uncomfortable in my own body and in my own mind because of how much anger is rising,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's like giving them the power too. That's like in that case, they have the power in a sense, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like getting that power back and realizing like I don't know. It's like a subtle perspective shift.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, it's not personal. Like at the end of the day, it's usually not personal. It's like usually like their own problem that they're just projecting.
Right. But how can I make it so that like the things that they're doing, because I'm somehow making it about me. It's somehow making me feel triggered and it's related to my trauma. Everything for me when I'm there resorts back to abandonment, betrayal, disrespect, all those wounds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how can I make it so that the things they're doing in their life every day, I'm not going to be like this hypervigilant open wound that like can't function.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I already know that I'm not going to feel as intense when I go back, but usually that feeling, cause like when I go away for a while and then I go back, it's like, I feel fine. And then it's like right back to feeling like I can't be here, you know?
Right.
So I'm hoping that
dealing with the external in a different, realizing that we can't control the external. We can't control what anybody else does, but we can control how we react to it and becoming the observer of a situation rather than, judging the situation. For me, that's kind of been like a lot of the process is, like you said, like you kind of felt like it takes you out of your body, out of the moment, and it gives you a minute so we don't have to just like react so quickly and so emotionally in those like crazy moments or just anything, any little trigger. I that's just been the main thing for me is I realize I do have the power to control how I react.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
like, since things, because it does help the nervous system. So like, if we want to talk about like the mushrooms,
yeah,
it actually does have like a physical component of what it does to the nervous system.
Right.
So I think the fact that things are, the volume of things are lowered for me, like with my mental illness, it makes my nervous system feel more at ease. So that makes my reactions feel less intense.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Another thing is just like finding gratitude for it all. Like just little things, like I'll just like laughing at things instead of just like reacting so negatively. It's like now things that like I like we were talking about this a little bit before is just laughing, like like finding just joy again.
That's what I need to work on. I want to have you back on. I think it would be cool if we did like if you were just like kind of a reoccurring guest and like so we could have these like mushroom chats.
I love that. Yeah, that'd be awesome. It's been a lot. I mean, this has been really cool for me too, because like I've been reflecting all day on my journey and stuff and really like thinking back. Like I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe it's been a year like doing this.
Yeah, and you have so much knowledge and so much like you have so much that you've learned that it's not going to all come out in one conversation.
Yeah,
It's going to come out in tons of flowy conversations like this. So I feel like that will help people grasp it. And it'll also help us be able to process it more so that we can help people.
Yes.
Because sometimes when people ask me like, oh, what's it doing for you? It's like, oh shit.
I know. It's such a hard, you can't just like answer that in one sentence or like a few, like even a paragraph. It's like, I don't,
yeah.
It's like, so deep. It's like, it changes things on such a different level. And it's hard to put in words because it's so,
like, it's an energy.
Subconscious. Yeah.
And, yeah, like even sitting here right now, this is an energy that I haven't felt yet on my microdosing journey because I haven't talked to someone like this.
Right. No, I feel that too. I totally feel it. I feel like lit up inside. And I've been feeling this like coming on slowly all day. And maybe it's an excitement too, because a lot of this is all so new. Like, and there's a lot more research now on it all, but like, I feel like a lot of the research is still slowly like surfacing. And this is still like the beginning of kind of this whole movement, if you want to call it that.
And there's not enough, the thing is that there's not enough people actually talking about their experiences like this. It's just the experts talking about the science and like, you know, like how it works. But like,
right,
I think something to be said about storytelling, and people want to feel comfortable and people want to feel not alone about like all the fucked up things that are going on in their life and in their head.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I can listen to experts talk about this all day long, but it's not going to make me understand, like, well, what's happening, like, granular, like, in my life. And, like, the fact that I'm able to sit here with you and feel, like, this healthy kind of, like, buzzing happen in me. Like, because you know when you trip on mushrooms and it's, like, a big dose, you feel kind of, like when you're breathing, you feel it. And when you kind of feel like you're vibrating a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Like I feel that on a very, very low dose right now.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It's crazy the connections it does. And like I was saying before, I feel like it's all connected, even like the mycelial, like I was talking about before. If you Google mycelial web and if you Google like neurons, they look exactly the same.
That's fucking dope.
And yeah, so that was another image that I kind of had in my mind. It's like these little tendrils are like connecting us, and there's like everything's lighting up, and everything is light, which is interesting. Another wormhole to go down, but
yeah. And you can feel it. You can feel it happening, and it's not anything scary or crazy for people who are maybe afraid to try. And I'm always going to put the three companies that I've found in the show notes. So for people who need reputable, you know, whatever, or if you know somebody in your area who actually has, you know, do whatever feels right to you. Or if somebody like offers you them, like that's a sign from God or from spirit or from source that maybe, you know, but if this episode is calling to anyone and we're speaking to you, like, do some research, listen to the playlist. I'll put the playlist of all the mushroom podcasts that I've been listening to in the show notes. And then Chelsea, if you have any like resources or anything that you've found, like just send me links and stuff and
yeah. I can
put that in there. Or if you have any like notes, or I don't know, if you have anything you want to share with people, like I feel like people will be able to listen to this episode and get a feel for what they're in for and like how it can help them on a real level.
Yeah, definitely. I have some things I can send you. I have a list here that I wrote down. And I feel like at the end of the day, like, most important thing is to listen to yourself. Like the most important thing that I've gotten out of this is to trust myself. And that it's just been solidified, like, trust yourself. You know, if you have an intuition, a feeling like, oh, like, this is calling to me, like, trust it. Like, don't, like, we don't have to fight it. Like, we can trust our gut. We can, like, it's just been getting to know myself on such a deeper level that I just know, like, I just know things are going to work out now. And that's just kind of like, that's my new story, is this is, everything's working out for me. And I
trusting yeah. ourselves and being able to trust the universe and the plan, because that's what hypervigilance is. It's like, mm-hmm. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I hope this episode helps you guys just kind of tap into the energy of, like, you can feel safe and, like, things can work out and things can get better.
Mm-hmm. And changing those stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, this was amazing. And now I feel like I'm going to have to, like, do some, like, breathing and kind of, like, anchor rituals to, like, calm me down.
Decompress. No, I totally feel that. And I have so many new thoughts now going on that I want to process through all this. And because, yeah, like,
down.
Yeah, like, I haven't really had a conversation with anybody who's been doing this. And it's been cool since, you know, you've kind of a couple months in, and it's been interesting to hear your perspective on it. Not since I've been doing it for a year. It's like,
oh my God,
it's cool.
Probably have so many things happening. Like, you already have like books of notes that you have in your head.
Right, exactly. But it's been a cool reminder, like, hearing from your perspective and how fresh everything is for you with all this too.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So we're gonna make this a thing.
Yes.
Mushroom chats.
I love that.
Because as much as I like talking into a microphone by myself, I have been feeling like I want the podcast to shift away from that. And I, you know, like, I like doing solo episodes, but I want to have someone who I can riff with like this and mm-hmm. flow with like this come on more often, so that we don't have to just talk about mushrooms.
Yeah.
We can talk about other shit too.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. And now that this is, you know, figuring out this whole podcast, this is the first podcast I've been on. So it was like, you know, I was a little nervous.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, now that I kind of know, you know, get the first nerves out of the way, I can be a little bit more composed for the future episodes and thinking of, you know, having a little bit more of a structure, I guess.
Yeah. And we can always, like, have like a theme or ideas to go into it. I just think this flowed so beautifully, and I'm so grateful that you and I have, like, connected and we met on Instagram, and I'm just grateful because, like, I don't think I've ever had this deep of a conversation with someone right off the bat, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I know that we know each other through stuff we've shared through the DMs, but, like, this is different, and I feel it.
Yeah, it's like it can only go so far through, like, texting and, you know, DMing or whatever.
So, and we're at 1 hour and 11 minutes.
Oh my
gosh. I think that's a great place to end.
That's funny. I love that. That's great.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.